Shastra Shiva. Maranan Vrabanan Vrabhaisai. It's a tremendous covet for me to be here to speak about my Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Kolevsky. I have to have a karas hatayv to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for bringing me to this phenomenal yeshiva, for sending me straight into his shir, and for giving me the schus of having a close shaychus with him. I was in Rebbe Shir for the last, I was with him about the last 2.5 years of his life. And those years were the sunset of his life. He was already blind. He was already weak. He had already numerous health issues. But like the sunset scatters thousands of colors across the sky and lights up the sky no less than the day, if not even more, the tekufa of Rav Kolevsky's end of his life was a phenomenally productive one. One with talmidim that were davuk to him, belev v'nefesh, where the last short tekufa he became Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva he had taught in for some 45 years. And he didn't stop his grace of hasmada, not for one instant. And he didn't stop his geshmak avas haTorah and his clarity of his shiurim. The emes says it's not hard for me to speak about Rav Kolevsky. Hardly a week goes by that I don't mention him or some story or some word of his to my own talmidim. It's hard for me to encapsulate what he meant to us in a short few minutes. Chazal say, Gadol Shimusha Yaisim Elimuda. It's a Gemara in Brachas. I had the schus of being Meshamashim, not just as a Talmud. For as long as I knew him, he was blind. And Rebbe had three ways of reading. He had macular degeneration, which means you can only see peripherally. So imagine looking straight and only being able to see on the side. So he slid a Daf Gemara under a machine, which with sensors displayed one or two or three words at a time on the screen. And with that, he would sit for hours and hours. And Shiri couldn't do that. He didn't have his machines. So we sat in the plan-based medrash with a wall of windows behind him, with a light all the way by his face, a hot lamp, and a lens that was so powerful that when he put it down on the table in front of him, I, who was sitting across the table, could see his image completely upside down. And he put those glasses on, and he brought the page of Gemara, which was 3 11x17s taped together, and he would bring it all the way up to his eye, only one eye. It wouldn't help to be two eyes. Only one eye. And he read the words of the Gemara, of the Rashi, of the Tosfos and Shir. He made a little mark on the side of the page before Shir so that he could just look down the margin. And he would call me from his office to the yeshiva's payphone and say, I need a Gemara this and I need a Gemara that. And eventually, it ended up that I would just read him the paragraph that he needed. And just with a daf gemara, he'd walk into shir. And the rest of the Mar Mekaymus, I had this chus of sitting and reading to him. And that's how it became day after day. And I would read it quick, and I wouldn't know what I was talking about. And Rebbe would never lose his concentration. He would chop every word that I'm saying. Sometimes from exertion, he fell asleep. He would wake himself up and continue right where we left off. Once he stopped me and corrected me. I read it, Behema Hamaksha and Chulin. He told me, Behemoths don't ask no kashas. He hugged me once. He got up and gave me a hug. He said, Hill, you saved me 3 hours of work. I read for him for approximately 20 minutes. 3 hours of work you saved me. He would have done that 3 hours of work had I not been there to read for him. The Ava Gemura. And before he became Rosh Hashiva, he did it in the back of the mail room with no air conditioning and no heat. Stuck with his machines, schwitzing. I saw schwitz down the side of his. And he wouldn't let me in the room when he was preparing for Shir unless I was helping him prepare for Shir. I once wanted to ask him a kasha. He said, no, I can't. I can't give Shir without preparation. And he would prepare and he would sit for hours and hours and hours. Until he became Rosh Hashiva, and they moved him with all of his stuff. He didn't want to go to the Rosh Hashiva's office. And he sat back in the chair that went all the way back. And I found him that way, thinking of a svara for hours and hours. So some of these things I was zeicha to see. Gadol Shimusha. And some of those stories which are fantastic and phenomenal I want to share with you now. But first, the words of the Rebbe himself. The Pasuk says, Hashem b'tzion gadol, v'ram hu al kol ha'amim. One of his favorite vatlach was from the Malbim. That there's a difference between gadol and ram. Gadol means from the ground up. The Empire State Building is gadol. A very tall person is gadol. Ram is something that's very high but detached. So a cloud is ram, an airplane is ram. Hashem b'tzion for us is gadol, because he has a shaychus with us. But al kol ha'amim, for everybody else, he's ram. That's the pshat mi Hashem asher ashma b'kolei, the paroi said, I know he's up there somewhere, but a shaychus with us, I can't believe. This was Rebbe. Ram, the madrega of learning, the madrega of asmada, the closeness to the Gdelei Ador from the previous door was wrong. We can only glimpse. But at the same time, he was God. He touched the ground. He was a Sulam Mutzavarza V'roishe Magia Hashamayma. And this is how he was Mashpiyan Talmidim. 19 years old. We were able to touch that rum with his godless. Maybe that's the pshat. Gadol Shimusha. Because a person who has the schusim being the shamish doesn't just see the rum. He doesn't just see the prepared shir. He sees the gadol. He sees how it touches the ground. I first heard of Rav Kolevsky from my own 11th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Perman, who told us a vart from Rebbe on Toy V'yosher Hashem Al Kein Yerech Atoyim Baderech. He said the Meirin Chibur Atshuva Lamu Yosher Mneishu Toiv Lamu Toiv Mneishu Yosher. When I had the schus of coming here and sitting by Rav Kolevsky, that first Elozman, I heard the exact same vart. The exact same vart. Because not only did the Talmud say it over perfectly, but Rebbe said it over year after year with the same geschmack and the same enthusiasm. And my notes from 11th grade mirrored my notes from that first month of Shir. I remember like yesterday, the first day of Shir in the plant-based Medrash. I think it was in the high 90s, or maybe even 100 bachurim in that Shir. And I was sitting somewhere towards the back, and we were waiting anxiously for Rebbe to come into the room. Suddenly the door opened, and everyone shot up to their feet. And the first words I heard out of his mouth, he had a particular Talmud that used to ask him a lot of kashas, interrupt him in the middle of Shir. Chuvas from Kiveger, he would say, nah, it's got nothing to do with that Chuvas from Kiveger. He loved that Talmud like he loved all of his Talmidim. But that one he wanted to make sure was there. The first words I heard out of his mouth was, where's that Talmud? He's here? Good, we can start. That's Rome, and that's Gadol. I knew then that this man would change my life. Because if he could walk into the Shir and account for his Talmidim, that's a different story. Rebbe was a Talmud of Reb Shlaima, a Talmud of Reb Reuven, And he knew their Torah inside and out, and he remembered it from when he was in their shir. Different sometimes from how it's said in the Sefer. I once was very happy I finished Be'iyun Kal, the ninth parak of Ksubis. I should only be zeicha to have the Iyun Kal. I did it more bekiyistic. I'll admit it myself. And I went to Rebbe's house that night to help him prepare. And I told him, I'm particularly simcha by me, because I finished the ninth parak of Ksubis. He said, did you see your Reuven on this and this sugya? I said, no. He looks at me with a smile. He says, do it again. I remember once he said in Shir, the Reb Reuven's chakira on Koyach HaTaina and Nemonis. Whether Migu's a Koyach HaTaina, Migu's a Nemonis. And I had a close friend who's now a Sholem Eshev in a yeshiva, who used to bother him after every time he mentioned this chakira of Reb Reuven. What's this tzad? What's that tzad? He couldn't get it straight. Chiluk. What is exactly the other tzad? And this conversation lasted all the way until Rebbe's house, until the apartment door in 401 Yeshiva Lake. And I followed them, and I'm happy I did, because I got to see Godel and I got to see Ram. Because right before Rebbe walked into this house, the door was open, and he said to my friend, you know, there was someone after Reb Reuven's shir that used to hack him up the same way too. And Reb Reuven said the following words, Mevildas Anteben of Mekenisht. We want to feel that tzad. We want to get it into a box. But you can't. And there I saw Rom, and there I saw Golo. Remember, we learnt in Yeshiva Maseches Beya. And Rebbe, because of his Rabbein, said Beya. But there was a Talmud that came from somewhere far. And he read the word Beitza, as is printed in the Gemara. And when Rebbe spoke to him, he said, Beitza. And I saw Godel, and I saw Ram. The Ram is the Messiah of the Torah that he got from his Rebbeim, and he said it over exactly how they said it, but when he got to his Talmidim, he said, Beitza, not Beya. Following story I heard from Yehuda Rosenbaum, about 10 years ago, in Sanhedrin Mechevet, he had just found out the details and he was very excited. I don't know if he shared it or someone shared it before. But there was someone that wanted a fahar from Rav Kolevsky on Hilchos Shechita. And Rebbe said, no, I can't give you a fahar because I haven't seen the material in 30 years. But he pushed him. He said, Rebbe, I have no one else. That was always the best way to get to him, by the way. Said, Rebbe, I have no one else. I need you to give me a faher. I need to pass the bechina on Hilchos Shechita. Rebbe sat him down and gave him a bechina baal peh on every single machlokes shach and taz on Hilchos Shechita. He hadn't seen it in 30 years. And that's wrong. Now here's the gadol. How did Rebbe remember, after 30 years, every single machlokes shach and taz? It's because when he learned it with Rabbi Chin, B'chavrusa, after every single Seder, they walked home, and they reviewed Baal Peh, every single Machlaikas Shach and Taz in Hilchos Shechita. And when you learn it like that, you remember it 30 years later. This next story is particularly chaviv to me, because I was the only one that saw it. I was in his office one day. He got a call from somewhere, maybe Midwest, about a complicated shiloh about a screw in a mikvah. Now, Rebbe was a bucky in mikvahs, like he was a bucky in everything else. I think the yeshiva's tape library had tens or hundreds of tapes of his shir and hilchos mikvahs, or the limud of mikvahs, and the adas in Yiddish. So, it was the right address. But he said he wasn't sure. So he wanted to do the research. So give me some time. A week later, he calls up that person again with the answer. That's wrong. Rosh Hashiva with a busy schedule, holding in deep shalas and Hilchos Mikvois, answering shalas across the... That's wrong. But here's the gadol. You see, in between, he had to go to the hospital. Rav Pilevsky was always in and out of the hospital. And he called me from the on the yeshiva's payphone, say, Hill, I need a Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Mikvois and some other sefer that I can't remember from the yeshiva's library. So I got the two sforim, I borrowed a car, and I went to Mount Sinai Hospital. Found out which room he's in. He's sitting at the edge of his bed. Open hospital gown. He says, Hill, he recognized my shape, even though he couldn't see me. By the way I wore my hat, I was makbid to keep it a certain way, so he could recognize the form. He says, Hill, is that you? I said, yeah. He says, take a seat. He was doing nothing except probably just thinking and learning. And he says, open up the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Mikvois. So I opened up Mikvois. And I had me read the Shulchan Aruch, and he stopped me. He said, Pisrei Tshuva over there, Reb Kiveger over there. And we went through basically Rubik Kekuloi Hilchos Mikvois at that time. And he said, okay, you can close the Shulchan Aruch. Now open the other sefer. If I didn't know Hilchos Mikvois, I for sure didn't have any shaychus to this other sefer. That's no question. But I read it. I read a paragraph here. Go 10 pages there. Another chapter there. Oh, that's the spot I need. He stuffed a napkin in there, closed the sefer, and made his way back to the yeshiva. Called up the people in who knows where and said, I have an answer to your shaila. I was zeichet to see what went into the answer to that shaila. The milvad, difficulties that he had. He was in and out of the hospital having someone read for him. He answered the shot. Came out every Friday night. Rebbe used to have us at his house. I can't properly describe the maimed, the glow. The light came, standing room only. And if it was just for the perfect Mesukah Midvash Oiskar B'Teshtik L'Chter that came out of his mouth, it would have been enough. But that wasn't all. We saw his Koyach HaDrush. We saw his personal side. He made us sing. He had the Iranian Bachrim sing their own songs from their country with a smile bigger than anything else on his face. Until we, the Ashkenazi Bachrim, knew those songs too. I had a niggun that I was zeichet to compose. Somebody told him. Every single week he made me sing my Tzur Mishaloi. I said, Rebbe, they're getting sick of it. He says, maybe you're getting sick of it. I'm not. And that's the kurva he did for all of his talmidim. We were once sitting Chanukah in his house. He had a row of tape recorders in front of him before MP3 players. And he knocked them all down. He says, I don't talk to tape recorders. They don't talk back. That was him. He needed the Talmid. He doesn't have to give a shir. It's a live interaction. I'm teaching Bachrim. I'm not just teaching over the Shtikl Torah. There's a Gemara Brachas that says, the definition of an Adam Gadol. I won't go through the whole Gemara now. Adam Gadol, who the Gemara says, v'sameach b'mitzvus. Someone who's once sameach kul l'tfil of alay pasach ucham yipul me'kul ayayma. So the definition of Adam Gadol is the simcha that attaches him. I remember he called me once. He needed to go visit his wife in the hospital, so he needed a ride. I think that's what he needed, if I remember correctly. I borrowed a car, came to pick him up from his apartment. He comes out, ready to go, walks down the stairs, and it was a nice day in Baltimore, and he took a deep breath, and he said, I'll call Nishimo Nishima Tehalel Kah. And he gives me a whole long shtickle terror before even we get to the car. on the Gemara with the Evan Taiva with Avraham Avinu. And I took it like a regular Talmud would take it. It wasn't anything new, but years later when I had a little more das, I thought to myself, Gewalt. Rebbe, you're blind. You have blood circulation problems. Your wife is in the hospital. She's very not well. You need me to drive you. And all you can say is, I'll call Nishima, Nishima Tahalaka. That's the Simcha Sachaim that Rebbe had despite everything he was going through. Rebbe was the Baal Tekeah in Yeshiva. And I remember it wasn't a clear thing that he was going to make it through. And one year he made it through and he came off the Amud I can't describe with the Simcha of a general coming back from winning a war. I did it! He was beaming. In this dining room, we had the Purim Suda with him, probably about where I'm speaking. And Rebbe used to tell us what real Simchas Purim is. First of all, if you drink a ravias of yain, he used to say you can't paskin. So there you have it. If you can't have your limud haTorah, then that's already almost too much. He used to tell us, I can't give you a bracha. We used to ask him for brachas on Purim. I can't give you a bracha that you should become a Talmid Chacham. I'll give you a bracha that you should love to learn. And he also used to say, if you learn a whole year, you won't have to come to me Purim crying, Rebbe, I want to learn. But Rebbe wasn't always smiles. He demanded from us. He gave us bechinas regularly. He checked our progress. He knew every single bacher. He took attendance. He called us in two at a time in the beginning of his month to get to know us. And he demanded us to pay attention. If someone lost a place, he had a line, but he brought him back to where we were holding. I remember I was in the office and Rabbi Berger knocked on the door. It was after Rabbi stopped giving smicha bechinas. And I answered the door, and Rabbi Berger said that so-and-so did his bechina pretty nicely, but he was a little rusty in simon this and simon that. Rav Galevsky looked and said, tell him to do it again. Pasuk says, Al teich achletz, pen yisne'eka. Hecheach lechacham v'yaveka. Don't rebuke a fool, because he'll hate you. Be mecheach achacham, and he'll love you. The Rebbe had a different touch. Al teich achletz, when you're mecheach someone, don't call him a fool, because for that he'll hate you. When you give teichacha to someone and you call him a chacham, and then he'll love you. He called over a bacher once who wasn't really learning. He said, are you happy? He said, not really. He said, are you learning? Not really. So Rabbi said, when you learn, are you happy? So the bacher did a dance. He said, when I learn, I'm happy. He said, so why are you killing yourself? And that's what the bacher that wasn't learning so well. Who can forget that shmooze he gave when he became Rosh Hashiva and he asserted something that had been bothering him for decades. And he said over this Al Teich Achletz business, and he said at the end of the shmooze, so I hope you love me. And then he sat down. His Ava, his Simcha. I remember him talking to Rabbi Neuberger, Zichron Levracha. A regular, serious, intense conversation, and then 30 seconds later, turning and having a regular, intense conversation with a 7-year-old child. I told him once a family member of mine was not religious. He asked me, what does he do? I said, he has an appliance store. Does he take fire insurance? I said, I guess, I'm assuming. He said, what are the chances that his building's going to burn down with a fire? I said, probably not that great. He said, but he spends thousands of dollars anyway on the fire insurance, doesn't he? I said, yeah. Didn't know where this was going. He says, what are the chances that Torah and mitzvahs get you somewhere? Are there not many people that are advocating for a Torah lifestyle? And that they say there's big things upstairs, good and not so good if you don't? Isn't it worth the chance? I remember I was visiting him in the hospital once, and a nurse came in, a female nurse, to bring him his supper. So Rebbe said, no thank you, you eat it. And she said, no Rabbi, I had my supper already. He says to her, was it kosher? Well, Rabbi, and I exited the room at that moment. And I left them to discuss it. It's hard to encapsulate it all. But perhaps the following story can do it. I'll end with one vart and one final story. Rebbe used to say, he was one of his favorite verdlach, Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh, shifti beveis Hashem, kol yimei chayai. The Malbim says, she'elon bakasha. What does it mean? Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. So the Malbim says, a she'ela is what you ask for. The bakasha is what you want. So for example, Rebbe used to give this example. If you want to buy a house and you need a mortgage, $500,000 loan, and you go to the bank and you ask them for a loan. So that's your she'ela. You want the money, but you don't really want the money. You want the house. By Torah, achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. It's the same thing. What we want and what we're headed for, and the Torah Lishma, that's what we're going for. I had this chus, maybe in Rebbe's humility of Hakaras HaTov, to eat a meal with him. He and his wife and myself at the end of his life. I was honored and flattered, and my eyes were wide open. And Rebbe said this word at the table, Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. And the Rebbetzin was already not well. She had begun to forget in a very unwell way. But she served a delicious meal nonetheless. And she sat down to hear her great husband speak. And at the end of this word, she said, and that's the pshat, Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. And Rebbe said, yes, that's the pshat. 10 minutes go by, Zemiras, schmoozing, another Dvar Torah, and the Rebbetzin joined for the Dvar Torah. And in forgetful state, but she said, and that's the pshat. Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. Unfortunately, it had nothing to do with the Dvar Torah that he said, but Rebbe gave a big smile. And he said, yes, that's the pshat. Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. And another 10 minutes, and another vart, and another zmiras. He said another vart, and the Rebbetzin said again, and that's the pshat. Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. And Rebbe's smile went from ear to ear, and he gave a chuckle. He said, yes, that's the pshat. Achas sha'alti me'is Hashem, oysa avakesh. And the Rebbetzin wasn't wrong. Every single vart in every minute of his life, that was the pshat. Everything is the pshat, Achas sha'alti. He did nothing except for Avas HaTorah. I hope in some way I did him a little bit of justice. But I'm sure if he were here, he would tell me he'll let them go. Everyone should go learn. His Zchus should be a zchus for us. I live in his constant memory. Yehi zechrei baruch.